That cross is so rugged. That's why the songwriter says it's an old, rugged cross. And we need to come to that cross. Because without that cross, there's no life. Christianity is embedded upon that cross. Christianity is founded on that cross. We can't do nothing without the cross. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Our Father, we bless you. Our Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you, Lord, because you brought us out of the miry clay. You set our feet upon the rock to stay. You have put song in our lips to sing. Thank you, Lord, that we forever praise you. Father, we thank you because we serve you in spirit and in truth. We serve you in holiness and righteousness. Our Father, we thank you that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Bible goes further to say, if so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed on us. Blessed be your name, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for the life of Christ in us. Father, we are grateful. For opening our eyes to know the truth, we thank you. Because the truth has set us free. The Bible said, then said Jesus to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And it goes further to say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Father, blessed be your name, O God. That we are set free, we are living in the truth, we are walking in the truth. Be glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for how you have been helping us. Thank you for the message in the morning that tells us to awake. Awake. Have we been slumbering? Father, I pray, O God, that by virtue of that message, let us awake, O God. Not only awake, let us arise. Amen. To your own glory and to your own praise, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Speak to us, O God. Even as we look at the power of the cross of Christ. Because we know there is power in the cross of Christ. Open our eyes to the truth of your word. Let us with humility receive your word, O God. Sometimes it could be a tough, a hard message. Sometimes it could be, Lord, to correct us. It could come to rebuke us. Father, in whatever way this word will come, I pray that we'll receive it all humility, O God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father in heaven. We bless your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Let us be seated in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. We are looking at the topic, the power of the cross of Christ. The power of the cross of Christ. The power that is able to change lives. The power that is able to transform lives. The power that is able to make a sinner to become a saint. The power that opened the eyes of somebody who hitherto was swimming in sin and now makes him to be a child of God. The power of the cross of Christ. Please turn with me to Numbers 21. Numbers is in the Old Testament. Chapter 21. I'll begin reading from verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. The people did not go to God in prayers. The people did not seek the face of God. The people did not trust in God. But the Bible says that the people spake against God. That was their reaction to the challenge that they faced. Their reaction was to speak against God, not to seek the face of God. And the Bible goes further. Wherefore have you brought us? That was what they were saying, not against Moses, but against God. It was against God. It was because they couldn't see God face to face. That was why they came to Moses. If it were possible for them to see God face to face, with the way the Jews were behaving that day, they were ready to confront God. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And I so loathed this light bread. Of course, that was manna. And we remember that was the food of angels. We look at Psalm 78. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. There we see the justice of God. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. The people repented. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So here in this passage we see side by side the justice of God and the love of God. You see, brethren, sin will always be punished. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. The people murmured against God, the people spake against God, and God punished them for their sin. But at the same time, he brought out his love. This is a pointer to the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ himself did for mankind on the cross of Calvary, as we see in John chapter 3. Because we see Christ making reference to these incidents that happened in the book of Numbers. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we'll look at it from verse 14. Here the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus. Part of what he told Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to him by night was this. He reminded Nicodemus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As many in the Old Testament had looked upon the fiery serpent, the bronze fiery serpent that was made by Moses, as many as looked upon it were saved." They were delivered. They were set free. The Bible says that Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ suffered for us on the cross of Calvary. Christ died for our sins. Christ was never a sinner, and will never be a sinner. Like some churches teach, not here. They tell you Christ was a sinner. Christ was thrown into hell. Where in the Bible did they read it from? That is not true. Some of these tele-evangelists preach that, but it's not true. That is not the gospel of Christ. Christ became sin for us. Does not mean that Christ became a sinner. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sorry, I read a lot of passages when I'm ministering. So let's be ready to open our Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. It says, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ became sin for us. What that is saying is that Christ himself bore our sins. Until Christ went to the cross, the sin of man was not paid for. The penalty for the sin that has been committed, right from Genesis chapter 3, until the time the Christ came, that penalty was never paid for. And we see in the book of Numbers that God is a God of justice. So God will be fair in his justice if the penalty for sin was not paid. Are we following? If the penalty for sin was not paid, then the justice of God will not stand. Because God told Adam, "In the day you eat of that fruit, you will surely die." And of course, we know that sin attracts eternal consequences. Sin attracts punishment from God. And so throughout the years from the book of Genesis up until the time that Christ went to the cross, that penalty for the sin of man was never paid. The blood of bulls, the sacrifices they made, did not really take away sin, but what it did was to cover sin. It was like telling God, "Relax a bit, relax a bit." Until Christ came. And that's what we call propitiation. Until Christ came. And Christ's death did not only propitiate for the sin of man, but it also brought fellowship with God. Hallelujah. It brought fellowship with God. It brought reconciliation. The death of Christ on the cross reconciled man back unto God. And so without the cross of Christ, there's no reconciliation. Without the cross of Christ, there's no deliverance from sin. Because Christ's death on the cross destroyed the works of the devil. The Bible says that for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the power of the cross of Christ is able to deliver man from sin and its penalty. But it's able to do this when we appropriate. It's only able to do this when we believe. It's only able to do this when we act. Remember the case of the serpent. Those who looked at the bronze serpent were delivered. They were saved. They did not die of the plague. But those who refused to, they died. It looks so simple, but it's real. God has conditions, and God's conditions must be met. So it's to deliver man from sin and his penalty. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verses 7 to 10. "For he that is dead is free from sin." He that is dead. That is to say that white Christ went to the cross, we were with him. Are we getting it? When Christ went to the cross, you and I, even though we were not born then, we were with him. We went to the cross with him. Let's look at Galatians 2:20 for that. Galatians 2. Verse 20. Look at what Paul says here. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here he's saying that the old man is dead. And that is that the old man can never resurrect again. So the cross of Christ is able to deliver us from sin and set us free from sin. It says in verse 8 of Romans chapter 6, that if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more, death had no more dominion over him. If you look at verse 11, it says, likewise record ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is power in the cross that is able to deliver us and to set us free from sin. We no longer be held captives. The Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy. Sin is the works of the devil. Sin is not of God. The blood of Christ, the power of the cross, is able to set free those who have been held captives and is able to make them saints. It's able to make them saints. Look at Paul the Apostle. Let's even not go far. What of us here? Some of us will tell you the way we lived our lives in the past. We marvel. But it delivered us. He set us free. The Bible says that he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You see, if you look at in mathematics, we talk of transformation in mathematics. You have three types of transformation. You have the rotation. Like if I stood here and I move 90 degrees to my right, I'll move this way. This transformation, that's rotation, right? Also look at enlargement or reduction. If I say, okay, reduce my size, it's not possible anyway. Reduce it by half, I come down. Increase it by 2. That's my height times 2. It's a transformation. But what you notice in mathematics is that those transformations are still on the same axis. Do you get it? But when you talk of translation, translation involves the movement both of the x-axis and the y-axis, both down the corridor and up the stairs. Are we getting it? So, you see, King James Version understands mathematics. So he has translated us. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we are no longer of the old world. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things have become new. All things. Not some things. You can't be in Christ Jesus and say, oh, the problem I have now is smoking. Smoking has to go. Everything. Because the blood of Christ, the cross, is able to deliver and set free. It's not some. It's not many. All. Hallelujah. The cross of Christ dislodges, overthrows, and destroys the forces of evil. Brethren, we are in a wicked world. You see, one thing is that those of us in the Western world We don't really understand when we talk of wicked world. We don't really understand. Those of us from Africa, when we talk of wicked world, you know what you are talking about. There are people who laugh with you now, but inwardly, they hate you. But how do you know? How do you know? Because you can't read anybody's mind. The word is the Bible says that the old world is full of wickedness. And what can you do if you are not in Christ? And this weapon of fighting them is not the carnal weapon. The Bible says the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down of every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. That's what the cross of Christ is able to do in the life of anybody who puts their trust in Him. Remember, He says, whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever believes, should not perish, but have eternal life. So the power in the blood, in the cross of Christ, is able to set free, is able to destroy, overthrow the kingdom of hell. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says, wherefore, take on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to fight against the fiery darts of the wicked, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Brethren, we cannot fight spiritual battles when we are living in sin or when we are practicing sin. Holiness is a weapon of victory. It is a weapon of victory. Without holiness, without holy lives, without living a righteous life, we cannot battle with the enemy. We cannot fight the enemy. Because anybody who is living, who lives an unrighteous life, is living a wicked life. The Bible tells us that the sacrifice of sinner is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. See why we need to be upright in our relationship with him. You see why we don't have to be a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left. Joshua told the children of Israel, choose you this day the God whom you will serve. Whether the God that your father served, that was on the other side of the Jordan. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should be our decision, brethren. For us to be able to effectively make use of the power of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is so powerful that it emboldens believers to preach the gospel. If the gospel is centered on the cross, the likes of Paul, the likes of Peter, understood what this meant. They knew what it meant to preach only the cross of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 17. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That is, that if he preached any other gospel, The cross of Christ will not be effective. So for the gospel to be effective, it must be gospel that is centered around Christ. Not outside Christ, brethren. There is no substance in the philosophies we hear today. Because most of the messages we hear today are the philosophies of men. Messages that tickle the fancy. You are preaching a message, people are jumping up and down. Right on, Pastor. Messages that only appeal to the soul, it does not touch the spirit. It touched only the emotion. Right on, Pastor. People will jump up in a message. You see some people even running up and down. If you look at the same 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you look at verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That is the message. That is the gospel. No wonder it said in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "Therefore I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation." Let's look at it. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. So the gospel is supposed to reveal God's righteousness. Nothing more or less. The gospel should reveal God's righteousness. It is consistent in scripture. It should reveal the righteousness of God. Any gospel we preach that does not emphasize on God's righteousness is no gospel. It's a gospel from the pit of hell. It's not of God. Because today in our churches, a lot of churches, we see we move around by God's grace. I was at a conference, will I call it a conference, two Saturdays ago. And here the minister comes and says that once you are saved, no matter what you do. That if you are still doing those things that Christ died for, if you die in them, you still go to heaven. But you lose the price for those things that you do. Where in the Bible it is that? That's the kind of gospel that is flying everywhere today. I was grieved in my spirit. But most unfortunately, we had finished speaking before the person came. And they didn't give us opportunity to ask questions. Because I would have stood up to tell me, "Sir, with due respect, can you show us the book of the Bible, the chapter, and the verse?" And I'll say to him, "With due respect, sir, can you show us? I'm ready to learn." But it's not of God. That gospel is not of God. Let's look at what John, the beloved. Because people talk of, you don't talk love. Don't talk about love. But the message of the cross is love. For you to turn away from wickedness is love. That is the real love. That's the agape love. This message is the message of love. This is the real message of love. Not owe somebody, tell him how you love him. Kiss him, only kiss. Nothing like that. That's the real love. Who loves you more? The one that sees you, a father that sees a child doing what is wrong, and he says to the child, "Well done, keep it up." And then the father who sees a child doing what is wrong and tells him, this is wrong. Don't do that again. Any day you do it, I will discipline you. And the child dares the father, and the father disciplines him as he told him. Who amongst the two fathers is a better father? Is it the former or the latter? Who loves you more? When this place is about to burn, God forbid. And then somebody now comes from outside and says, don't worry, brethren. It's just a little fire. And you don't worry. And you see the smoke rising. And another one comes, jump out, it's burning. Who loves you more? Is it the first one or the second one? This is what we are saying. But many will want a minister that will tell them, don't worry, you are okay. When we are justified, but that's part of what the blood did for us. We are declared righteous. Now that you have been declared righteous, do we not go back to live the old ways again? Just like a child, you have bettered the child, you have cleaned up the child, the child just came out of a puddle, you cleaned him up, did everything, washed him or her, and then that same child, in less than 2 seconds, he goes back there again and comes out, daddy, wash me again, or mommy, wash me again. What will you do to that child? But it's true. It is true. You see, people who preach these things, it's not the true gospel. And it will never be. And that's why they will teach for 1 hour, 2 hours. They won't quote scriptures. Because whatever they are saying has no scriptural backings. They come and tell you stories. I'm not saying it happens here. I've not been here before. But I'm only telling you what happens in today's churches. First John chapter 3. If we look at it from verse 4, it says, whosoever, I like the word of God, it shows that God is no respecter of persons. Say, whosoever, right? We all understand English. Whosoever means anybody. That also includes me. Is that not so? Whosoever. Anybody, male or female, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And he know that it was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Whosoever. So the gospel, the cross of Christ, embodies us to declare the gospel with boldness. Peter will not even associate with Christ before little maids. He couldn't. But what happened after Christ had resurrected? What happened when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost? What happened? He was bold. Even while the Jewish leaders told them, keep quiet, at a time they threatened to kill them, did they stop? They never stopped. Where did they get the boldness from? As a result of the cross. It emboldens believers. Hallelujah. The Bible says somewhere, oh, come and taste that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. The power of the cross of Christ gives us access to God's presence. It gives us access into God's presence. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews. Chapter 10. Verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Without the blood, there's no way we would have been able to enter into the holiest. Because the Bible, if you remember, the Old Testament tells us the high priest went into the Holy of Holies how many times a year? Once, on the Day of Atonement. But because of the blood, the power of the cross, it gives us access when we are in relationship with Christ. Very, very important. There must be relationship with Christ to have access into the holiest. So by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Cleanness, holiness. Very consistent in Scripture. Very consistent. It's after this that it says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. That's verse 25. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Here is addressing those whose hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. It's referring to those who have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it gives us access to God's presence. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 18. I'll go back a bit. In fact, when you quote this, just because you don't have time, we need to go back a bit. Let's start from verse 14. Here, Paul was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's start from 13. Say, but now in Christ Jesus, he who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Talking of giving us access to God's presence. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ to those who believe and those who are walking and living consistently by his righteous standards. For he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We both have one access by the Spirit unto the Father. The access you have to the Father is the same access I have to the Father. The access that a Jew who is a believer has to the Father is the same access that I, a Nigerian in Africa, also have unto the Father, because I have Christ in me. No wonder the Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. We have equal access. Before God, there's no superstar. We all have equal access to God, and stop looking at a man as a God. If you have a man you look up to as a God, stop doing it. That is idolatry. Because God cannot share his glory with any man. He said, my glory will I not share with any man, neither will I give my praise to any graven image. I am the Lord, that is my name, he says. So God cannot share his glory with any man. So we all have access. It's for us to draw nigh unto him. It says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Say, come, let us reason together. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. That no matter how your life is, you are able to ask the Lord, like we saw in this song. What was that song again? Fountain filled with blood. The dying thief on the right side. Anytime I read that passage, I say, look at how the thief on the left hand side lost eternity. I'm sure he's regretting it in hell. He is regretting it. Brethren, there's hell. It's one word people don't want to hear, but it's true. There's hell. There's heaven. He's regretting it there. But the other one says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ told him, verily, verily, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And Christ does not lie. He is there with him. In fact, when we may get to heaven, it's one of the people I want to see first. After seeing Christ. Where is that thief on the right hand side? Of course, now it's no longer a thief. It's a saint. It's not a saint. But he made use of the opportunity. Remember, those two people, they had equal opportunities. Equal opportunities. Equal. But while one made use of it, let us say, what is he talking about? If you are Christ, bring us down. So we believe you. Our relationship with God is faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whosoever will come to him must first believe that he is, and as the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The thief on the right hand side diligently sought after the Lord, and he found him. Are we getting it, brethren? So no matter how terrible, if you are here this morning, and you may not be here, somebody might be listening to me somewhere, no matter how horrible your life is, your lifestyle is, if you come to the Lord, he will receive you. He will receive you. He said, come now, let us reason together. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. Pure. He cleansed us, is able to cleanse you, brethren. Hallelujah. The power of the cross brings into one all nations in Christ Jesus. It brings together all nations. If I asked us here, how many of us, which countries are we from? I'm sure we are from up to 10 different countries. I'm sure of that. 10 different countries. But what has brought us together is the name of Christ. What has brought us together is the cross of Christ. What has brought us together is the faith we have in Christ Jesus. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Here the Bible says to us from verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. One. And that's why we are one citizen. The Bible describes us as fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. There's no white, there's no red, there's no green, there's no black in Christ Jesus. We are one. Hallelujah. I'm closer to a child of God who is a Greek than a blood brother that I cannot even trust. Because if that blood brother does not repent, Our relationship ends here in this world. But that Greek man who is saved, who is born again, our relationship will not end here. Our relationship continues. And that's why we cannot afford to bear grudge against a fellow brother or sister. Let's not bear grudge, brethren. Let's not discriminate. We are one in Christ Jesus. The motto of my secondary school says, Omnes unum in Domino. That is all one in God. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Because the blood of Christ on the cross brings together all nations. All, not some, not many, not few, all nations. Citizens of all nations have become one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The power of the blood of Christ is able to protect believers from false doctrines. False doctrines. Doctrines that oppose God. Doctrines that diminishes the person of Christ and elevates man. That's the kind of doctrines we hear today. Oh, you have power resident in you. Which power? Who gave you the power? I heard a minister, I won't mention his name, who once said that if he knew what Christ knew, he would also have been able to go to cross to die for man. I won't mention his name, but he's a popular televangelist. And we have multitudes. In fact, he's the father of the faith preachers. Decode it yourself. He's their father. Their present living father. Because the main father is dead. And people hear. But somebody in Christ Jesus, when he hears that kind of thing, you see, when you are in the truth, when you know the truth, whenever falsehood comes, there's an alarm. Something is not right. You may not really be able to pinpoint it, but this is not right. Something is not right with this teaching. And that's why Christ told his disciples, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you are not in the word, you cannot be able to differentiate between the truth and falsehood. And brethren, the line of demarcation is getting very, very blurred. It's getting very blurred now. In those days, we say, once you see a magician, you don't even bother to ask whether it's of Christ or not. But here, we have a lot of magicians who tells you to sow, even your salaries, and then God will double it and make it times 3, times 5. And people believe that. A lot of people come and tells you, oh, you are also like Christ. Diminishing the person of Christ and elevating man. These are strange things happening in our days. People will not obey Christ anymore. We'll see Christ as a power. You see, we know the kind of person we are serving. We know not the person, the kind of God we are serving. The God we are serving. If you look at the book of John, the Bible says that John, on the day of the Last Supper, he leaned on Jesus' bosom. Now what the Bible says? But when he saw the glorified Christ, what happened? Look at Revelation. Those of us who are trying to equate ourselves with Christ, let us be very careful. Revelation chapter 1. I'll start from verse 12. It says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man." If you have a good Bible, that Son of Man is capital. That's Christ. "Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength." Yeah, what John says. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." The one who lived on his bosom in the book of John, when he saw the glory, the Bible says that he fell as someone dead. Those who are equating themselves to be equal with Christ, I pray they repent. That's my prayer for them. I'm telling you. God knows my heart. Because it's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of the living God. This person, this God that you are equating to be your mate, remember, is the one that will judge us on that day. He says, "The Father has committed all judgment unto me." He says, "Therefore, you honor me as you honor the Father." That is why nobody can see God except through Christ. Nobody can be in heaven if he doesn't honor Christ. And that is why nobody in any religion that is outside of Christianity that we see the Lord Jesus, he will not make heaven. The way to the Lord is one way, and that is through Christ Jesus. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." There's one mediator between God and man, says Paul to Timothy, the man Christ Jesus. Forget about all these religions that tells you, how do you know Christianity is the right way? I know because the Bible says so. This Bible is the word of God. Quran is not the word of God. Or any book that they are using, Hare Krishna, or the one being used by Mormon. Anything that you want to know about God is here. You don't need any extra knowledge. We don't need what? Any extra knowledge elsewhere, outside the Bible. And even the books we read, we should be very careful about the books we read. I don't normally recommend to people to read books. It's good to read books. But be sure of the books you are reading. Whatever they say in those books, compare them with Scripture. The Bible says the Bible is our more sure word of prophecy. Somebody was asking the other day, who created this drug, I can't remember the name again. Just try to ridicule God. When he knows that all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Any creation is dependent upon what God has already created. Any creation of man is dependent upon what God has created. Nobody can create anything out of nothing. It is not possible, brethren. Darwin said that from frog we became baboon. From baboon. Now, baboon has been existing for millions of years or thousands of years. Has any baboon changed to a human being? It's one of the dumbest theories, and people accept them because it's rebellion against God. Hallelujah. So we can write down 1 John 2, verse 27, 1 John 4, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 2, and 2 John 9 to 11. Let's be careful of those who teach strange doctrines. But I want us to read 2 John 9 to 11. Because some of us even sponsor them. My people who put on the telly, this is our sort code. This is our phone number. This is our bank. For this program to continue, you need to sow into this program. If they don't have enough money to continue, they will shut down. Second John, from verses 9 to 11. Whosoever transgresseth, you see the Bible again, whosoever, no exception, including me, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Is that dangerous, brethren? If you look at Romans chapter 16, Romans 16, I think verse 17. Yes, verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. It says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. Have nothing to do with them. That's what the Bible is teaching us. Have nothing to do with them. Let's see what Ephesians 5:11 says. Ephesians 5, verse 11. It says, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship. Don't sponsor their ministries, except those whom you know are preaching the truth. Those whom you know are declaring the whole counsel of God, but not many of them will ask you to donate. Not many will ask you to donate. Mark those who do not preach the truth of God's word. Mark those who are afraid to talk about righteousness of God and God's holy standards. Mark those who cannot mention sin by name. But today we hear ministers, instead of calling sin, sin, they say it's of bad character. There's a difference between bad character and sin. Right? A bad character cannot necessarily be a sin. Like I see a brother here, and I don't say hello to her. Somebody who is older than me, old enough to be my mother. I don't say hello to her. I say hi. How are you? Not even saying anything. Walked by her side. That's a bad character. But it's not a sin. Are you getting it? It's a bad character. It shows that something is wrong with my upbringing. So there's a difference between sin and bad character. But many today will not mention sin by the name. The Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. And in the New Testament, there is law. But we have laws in the New Testament. People will tell you, no, in the New Testament, we live anyhow. We can't live anyhow in the New Testament. If those in the Old Testament were able to, they had that standard. God expects more for those of us in the New Testament. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is what? Expected. Luke chapter 12. So much is given, much is expected. We can't shy away from God's word. You see, you don't debate God's word. Somebody told me one time, said, come, we want to have a group discussion. I said, discussing what? For us to be arguing what? Don't argue the word of God. It's either you accept it or you reject it. It's not debatable. I don't debate God's word. Except if you tell me you don't understand the English, I will explain the English to you in my own way. And the English is so simple. You have dictionary, you pick the dictionary and use and compare. Say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Is there anything different? Is there any strange word here? Is it bitterness that is strange? Or let that is strange? Let means don't allow. We're looking for another word. And wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be put away. Let it not be part of you. Is there anything that is not clear, dear? I pray God to help the church in Jesus' name. The power of the cross of Christ enables believers to boldly face persecutions while remaining faithful to their calling. Brethren, whoever will live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, must suffer persecutions. Whosoever will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecutions. It is part of our Christian experience, brethren. It's part of our Christian experience. Here Paul was telling his son in the Lord Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll read verses 11 to 12. Here Paul, who saw the third heavens, here Paul, whose handkerchief was used as a point of contact to bring healing to those who were sick. Here Paul, who said what he saw, although he didn't make reference to himself, but we know he was the one, that he heard things that is not even permissible to speak out. And here he says, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 11, says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions are endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And the gospel says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That has been thrown out of the church of today. If you are truly living for the Lord, you will be persecuted. It may not be today, but expect persecution. The apostles of old were all persecuted. The old Christians were all persecuted. Of all the apostles, it was only John who died naturally. James, who read in the Bible, was beheaded by Herod. John, before he wrote the book of Revelation, before he had the revelation, Bible history has it that he was thrown into a boiling cauldron, that's boiling oil. Hot oil was thrown inside, and God miraculously delivered him. Whoever was the emperor there said, what do I do to this man? Let me banish him. And banished him to the island of Patmos. Persecution is part of our Christian experience. But the power of the cross is able to make us endure afflictions. Hallelujah. The power of the cross is able to. So when you are facing the persecution, brethren, let us not look at the present state of the persecution. Let us look at the prize that awaits us. Because that was the secret behind the success of those who have run this race before us. Were they persecuted? Yes. Were they troubled on every side? Yes. Many of us, we are not even experiencing what they experienced. Many of us, we are very fortunate. In this country, we are very, very fortunate where I can call upon the name of Jesus. There are places in the world that people cannot gather together like this to share the word of God. Yet, they make out room to share God's word. There are many who are in worse places than in Caesar's household. Do we know, brethren, that Emperor Nero had believers within his palace? Let us ask those who are in countries that do not want to hear about Christ and see the persecution they face. So, brethren, persecution is part of our Christian experience. But all we need to ask God is, God give us the grace to endure affliction as a good soldier of Christ. Hallelujah. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 36. Romans chapter 8, verse 36. He says, it is written, for the sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things you are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He was able to say that because of the power of the cross. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all the saints say, Amen. Amen. You can write this down to see some of the things, some of the troubles that Paul the apostle faced. If you just write down, we are not going to read it because of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And your quiet time, read 22 to 23. And you see some of the problems, a host of them, that Paul faced. A host of them. But he considered them as nothing but light afflictions. He saw them as nothing but what? Light afflictions. That works in them, in him, an exceeding weight of glory. Hallelujah. You see that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Let me quickly read it. It says in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That is, we are endangered species. That the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. But in verse 16 it says, you think you might be discouraged, but he didn't see it as something that would discourage him. He says what in verse 16? For which cause we faint not, but for though our outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is possible because of the power of the cross. It's not by his own power. It's not by his own might. The work of Christ in him. Hallelujah. And finally, the power of the cross prepares believers for eternal salvation in heaven. And that is the goal of every believer. Eternal salvation in heaven. Because we talk about three classes of our walk with God. The first one is we have been saved. We are being saved. And we will be saved. We are saved when we repent of our sins, ask the Lord for forgiveness, and tell him to give us the grace to serve him. We are being saved as we live in righteousness, in holiness. We keep beholding his face and as in a mirror and are transformed from glory to glory, even according to his own image. And then we are eternally saved. We will be eternally saved when we do this work of righteousness and holiness to the end. It must be to the end. If Paul had not finished the race, he would not be in glory. He would not have been in glory. If Peter did not finish the race, he would not have been in glory. In spite of the fact that he preached and 3,000 souls got saved, that wouldn't have qualified him for heaven if, along the line, he veered off. I pray that the Lord will give us the grace, brethren, to walk till the end. Let's end with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 9 to 10. Let's go back to verse 8. No, I start from verse 5. Sorry about that. From verse 5. All right, from verse 4. But ye brethren, you know, the word of God is like you want to start from beginning. Please just bear with me. I will close now. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Brethren, believers should not be loud people. We shouldn't be loud people. We shouldn't be people who love to be seen. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's eternal salvation. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. In whatever condition we find ourselves, when Christ comes, we go with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The power of the cross of Christ is able to deliver us from sin and its penalty. It's able to set us free. It's able to make those who do not know him and come to him to become saints. The power of the cross of Christ is able to dislodge, overthrow, and destroy the forces of evil. He's able to embolden believers to preach the gospel. He's able to give us access to God's presence. It brings into one all nations of the world when we believe in Christ. Protect believers from false doctrines, from doctrines that seek to diminish God, and increase or elevate the person of man. It enables believers to boldly face persecution while remaining faithful to their calling and is able to prepare believers for eternal salvation in heaven. My desire is that till Christ come today, all of us here will be with him in glory. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads in prayers. I want us to talk to the Lord at this moment. The power of the cross of Christ. Christ is able to save anyone who truly comes to him. And if you know the foundation of your Christian faith, it's not the right foundation. You need to break it and build it upon the real foundation. For no foundation can any man build except that which is built on Christ Jesus. It must be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. We can't do a quick fix with God. We cannot do a quick fix with God. Anything that we are doing and we know is not right, we need to break it. Anything we know is a sin, we indulge in it. After indulging in it, you go back and ask God for forgiveness. You need to stop it. We need to stop anything that hinders our relationship with God. If there are friends in your life or in our lives that we need to break relationships, we need to break it. We need to break it. If there are programs we watch, after watching them, our minds are defiled. We need to stop watching those programs. Narrow is the way that leads to life. There be few who find it. But broad is the way that leads to hell. A lot of people go through that way. The decision is ours, brethren. Let's not allow what we have heard today and which we will still hear stand against us on the judgment day. We are inexcusable, brethren. And because we have heard it, God forbid our judgments will be more severe than those who never heard it at all. Those who have not heard it at all, if they got one stroke, those who have heard it and refuse to repent, they will get more than one. Because they had opportunity. Let's ask the Lord to give us grace. But that's the reason Christ came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Let's go to the cross of Christ and ask for grace. We have access to him 24/7. We don't have a specific time. The gates are open. The gate is open all the time. The gate to his presence is one. It's open all the time. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for your word that has come to us. Help us, Lord, to put this word into practice. Because it's not the hearer of the word that is justified. It is the doer of the word. Give us the grace to live your word. Give us the grace, O God, to walk with you. Give us the grace to be totally and completely yielded unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, O God, by your spirit in our inner man. That Christ will continuously dwell in our hearts by faith. That we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray, O God, that unto him who is able to uphold us, who is able to keep us from falling, he will keep us. He will uphold us. He will strengthen us. We will not labor in vain. To the trumpet sound at any time, it will be worthy to go with you, O God. Help us, Lord, to be victorious. As we live here on earth, although we are in the world, we are not part of the world. I pray that you give us the grace, O God, to at all times present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless the ministry that has packaged this. Bless everyone who is here today. I pray, O God, that you continuously speak to us, Lord. May we not be cut off from you. We abide with you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.